Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. I think we got everything sorted out this morning. What's your problem, Nelsa?
I'm good.
You got the headphones on wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that will not, number one, won't be comfortable.
Maybe she got the wrong head on.
Maybe it's the wrong Nelsa this morning. Yeah. I don't know. She's all over the place. You got everything straight now?
I think so.
All right. We need to hear you a little better. I'll let Jeff take care of that. She's a little bit low. See, this is behind-the-scenes stuff. We have quite a panel
perfect.
This
Thank
morning.
You,
wow. I'll start with Nelsa Cox, who owned Garden Hut in Fuquay Varina for so many years and has been on this show since the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And Tom Campbell, who I owe so much to, I've said it so many times, I'll never be able to repay you, Tom. Rufus Edmonston, my great friend, who I owe a lot to. And Phil Campbell, my gosh, we're at Phil Campbell's place today. Campbell Road Nursery, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to have everybody and looking forward to having a big day.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
lots of food and all kinds of goodies.
The
and
most generous person I've ever met in my life.
I agree. I think everybody here will agree with that. Dr. Patrick McMillan is here, an Emmy Award-winning television star and professor, and you taught at Clemson and
yeah.
where else?
Yeah. Just Clemson.
Just Clemson, okay.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
20 years of that was.
That was, certainly. I don't know. I think you need to teach some more. You always teach us when you're on the show, and thank you so much for coming out this morning.
My pleasure, Mike.
But you got a bonus. You got some of Sweet Melissa's peanut brittle that I hope you and your wife will enjoy.
If she gets any of it.
Well, you got to try it first. You may not like it.
Oh,
you know, some people
don't. You'll love it.
And, Rufus, I got something from Cheryl here. It says, thank you and Melissa for the great peanut brittle. I gave Big John a separate batch.
Oh, Lord.
You ain't he's touched it yet?
He's coming to thank you today in person.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope he doesn't give me a bear hug. He might squeeze
me. You're a teddy bear.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you come to Campbell Road Nursery today, it is just a place of beauty.
It's stunning.
I mean,
that doesn't put you in the spirit.
I'll tell
it's
you.
Beautiful. Her
look,
trees
look
are gorgeous.
Look at these poinsettias over here.
Beautiful.
Phil Grunzel.
Yeah, I know. How many poinsettias, Phil?
I have no idea. Probably about 600 or 800. Probably about 800.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, something
They're
like that.
All colors.
And the Christmas tree. You know, I looked at those Christmas trees when she first got them in, and I couldn't help but think about the fact last year we had such a miserable year for Christmas trees because of the hurricane that hit the mountains and the flooding and so forth like that. This year, these trees are the prettiest I think I have ever seen.
Somehow those farmers got through, though, with people like Phil helping them.
Well, I'll tell you, those are gorgeous trees, Phil.
But the cyclamen, the Christmas cactus, the amaryllis, they're stunning. They're all beautiful, Phil.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And let me say this. If you come in today and bring 8 non-perishable items, you will get a free flat of pansies or a half flat of the of any of the perennials.
Does that include a relative?
Yeah.
Bring
yeah.
Up.
Wow. Yeah. So
you get a relative too.
You bring a relative; it's non-perishable.
So the good news is we've already taken up over a ton of food, and taken it to Interfaith.
Oh my gosh!
So and we've got more over there to take now. So we're pretty excited about that. People are so generous, and they, I mean, they'll bring it, and they're just so happy to be able to do that, and to drop it off, and then get a free flat of pansies, and I'm so happy.
This year is particularly important.
It is.
Because with all the threats to SNAP and
right,
and people need food this year.
Yeah,
right.
They really do.
Yeah. Yep.
So, well, why don't you tell about the experience we had in the Capitol 2 days ago?
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, we took our poinsettias over to the Capitol. We've done that. How many years have we done it?
Eight or ten? Over 10.
Yeah. So we had the neatest time, and the people there are just wonderful. The ladies welcomed us and helped us to get everything in, and they're just great people, and they've got a really positive, cheery attitude, and I mean, it's, you know, it was just a pleasure to take those and going to go back over on Wednesday, and I don't know how this came to me. Sometimes things just do, but I've got this giant white poinsettia, and the red poinsettias are around the bottom of the tree. Okay, at the base of the Christmas tree, so. I talked to the ladies about this. I would like to take the giant white poinsettia and put that right in the middle, and just for the hope and the peace for the next year, and especially for the people in the mountains, because they are so dear to my heart.
We're saying, no,
and we cannot forget them.
Patrick is a mountain boy,
yeah.
And so is Rufus.
Yeah. And they're still suffering up there.
Well,
absolutely.
It's just incredible that we...
Yeah, you can't... we can't forget it, because they're still just having a very difficult time. And I saw where somebody had just gotten a house this week.
Yeah.
But
Americans first, yes.
Right. Yeah. And so we've got to keep everybody... in our mind. Yeah, we just have to.
Definitely.
Well, the governor's coming over to see us on
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Right.
And
he's not coming here? He's not coming to see us?
He's coming to see the famous Phil.
Phil Campbell.
No, I understand that. We might have a few special guests today, though. We do have special guests, but we might have some
Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that chair is just waiting for him to come along.
Okay. Well, I won't go over there and sit.
Oh,
Tom. Yeah. Doctor, I know that some reason I associate Poinsett, was it Colonel Poinsett, General Poinsett, with South Carolina?
Joel Poinsett.
Was it Charleston?
Yeah. So Joel Poinsett was ambassador, I guess, to Mexico. And the poinsettia gets its name from Joel Poinsett, who had kind of one of those careers that goes both ways. If you think about it, he was actually recalled. But most people credit him with bringing poinsettia into, the public eye. The history goes way back before that, because poinsettia is native to Mexico, central Mexico, and it's actually a tree. A woody
really?
Plant. Yeah, yeah, and like so many things from those latitudes, the flowering is sparked, of course, by the low light levels in the wintertime rather than cold temperatures, because you're tropical there. It's not going to vary that much during the year, and it's really those low light temperatures, which is why when we're growing poinsettia in horticulture, why we have to be so careful, and you see the covered greenhouses and everything to keep any ambient light out of the poinsettia's way. It was known as Flor de Buena Noche, so the flower of...
That's what we all knew it as.
Yeah, I knew that you knew it, Tom, but the rest of us did not.
Now I'm connecting the dots.
So associated with that celebration of Christmas, you know. So it's been tied to Christmas for a long, long time, and Joel Poinsett's name is tacked to it, which I guess pulls South Carolina into it. And I did a video back when I was at Clemson with Jim Faust, who did a lot of research on Poinsettia, and we had, I don't know, hundreds of cultivars from the – he collected all the old, antique varieties right up to the most modern, you know, crazy bracted thing. And, of course, another thing to remember about Poinsettia is the flower is not the pretty part.
That's true.
The flower is not the pretty part. The leaves are the pretty part.
Right. Well, you bring up the bracts and the flower. The flowers, right, are so, you know, inconspicuous. And really, when we receive them this time of year, you kind of want to keep them more on the cool side, because you don't want the little inconspicuous flower to go.
Yeah.
So you're trying to keep that somewhat dormant so that the bracts are just beautiful. And
You know, they're so crazy. I mean, you start getting me on plants, you start to see I get excited. Like But they're euphorbs.
Euphorbias.
And the crazy thing about euphorbia plants, things in the euphorb family, like poinsettia, is they actually don't produce real flowers at all. They have something called a false flower, which has a cyathium, which is this weird enlarged nectar gland that looks like a flower, and then it has this little stalk that comes out that either has anthers or it has a pistil with the stigma on it, and that develops in that little fruit if you ever keep one around long enough to see it develop a fruit.
Look at that, Phil.
Love it. The story of poinsettia.
I think Patrick just told us a story.
Not really.
What is
this
that?
One's
what
way
is
better
that?
Than mine.
This book is so...
Get your microphone.
This book is...
It's on.
This book is so good. It's great for kids, and it's great for adults as well. It literally just goes through and... starts out at the very beginning, and in Mexico, and it's just, look at this.
It's called
the giving flower. The story of the poinsettia.
Well, Phil, so, Patrick mentioned that it's a tree. Does it grow? Can it grow like a tree up tall?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. They're really, Dr. Parsons has actually got one in his office that they've saved for a couple or 3 years, and it's almost as tall as I am.
Gracious.
Yeah, it's huge.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's got it. He wants them to throw it away, but they keep holding on to it because...
So don't throw them out.
I had one time.
I have a suggestion for folks. Throw them out.
Okay.
Throw them away.
It's difficult.
Come back and see Phil
and
next
a new
year.
One.
It's like a Boston fern. Let me tell you, people like Phil that are in the nursery business, they also need our help right now.
Right.
Yeah.
All nurseries everywhere on planet Earth need support, because this connection to plants is so important to us.
Right.
And holding one around and getting a half good flower next year, not worth it.
Come I have ruined the closet floor right. doing that.
Yeah,
all right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Campbell Road Nursery. Big Christmas celebration out here today. Join us, please.
You mean the revival?
Yeah, revival, yes. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, this morning, and we have a house full. Rufus was here. Phil was here.
Is off chewing on some peanut brittle.
Probably. Phil, who knows? Richard, thank you for everything. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Which is what I would want with irrigation.
And we have a stellar cast here of Nelson Cox and Tom Campbell. And Dr. Patrick McMillan is with us. And so we are really blessed this morning to have so many people. And Brother Rufus will be back momentarily. I'm sure he's politicking somewhere. You think so, Tom?
No question. He and Jim Graham.
I know.
The old sod father.
When you'd go off with Jim Graham, and Harlan Bowles and Jim Graham were best friends, so yeah. I'd go with them. And you go someplace to eat, you have to go 30 minutes before you actually want to chew on something.
Yeah.
Because Graham had to work the room.
Yeah.
And he could go through, and somehow or another, he'd ask people, what's your name?
Yeah.
Well, where are you from?
Right.
And somehow he'd connect everybody in the whole restaurant.
He was really good with names, too.
Oh, he was.
Just like Rufus is. And I think that's the mark of a good politician.
Sort of the last of a breed, if you want to know the truth.
That's right.
That's true.
Of politicians in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. Graham was an incredible person. I can't imagine him being on this show, but he probably would have come. At some point, I probably should have asked him.
He would have.
To come
join us. You know what
he'd
have told you?
What?
I love my job.
Everybody's going to be all right. Well, I'm so interested in the poinsettia, Doctor.
I'm loving this history.
What were you? You were talking about cuttings. Y'all were talking about cuttings. Are you talking about the poinsettia?
Wait, or the winter daphnes either.
Right. So, yeah, poinsettia is called. We propagate them by cuttings. That's everything's got to be clonal to maintain all these amazing, beautiful mutations that you see in the flowers that we've selected for. So, every poinsettia you buy is a stuck cutting that started just a couple of months ago.
Wow.
How do we take care of them properly? So they'll last through the season. You're not advocating keeping them over, obviously. So,
no, he said throw them out.
That's right.
You know, number one thing is take the wrapper off.
That's, yeah. You don't want to re-rot them.
We're getting basic here, folks.
Now, that's the number one thing. People leave that decorative foil around the base of the pot, which is okay if you just want to keep it for 2 weeks. Don't water it much, at least. But people will water that, and they'll be, wow, my poinsettia is dead. Well, yeah, because you drowned it. You know, it's set in a puddle of water, and it's not really made to do that. So that's number one thing. Keeping them cool is really important if you were trying to keep them long enough. You know, if you're trying to keep them more than a month, then the cooler they are, the slower those flowers, as you were saying, the slower
so
the
you put them in a regular house with temperature 71, 72, 69, something like that. They're not good for them.
Oh, that's good. They'll last at those temperatures for, you know, plenty through the season. You'll have a few leaf drop, but plenty through the season. What I'm thinking about is a lot of our family up in the mountains like to keep their house about 90 degrees.
We got those forests going up there, yeah.
I'm sure Rufus has been in many a house like that. But a lot of times you go in homes that are still heated with wood or something up in the mountains, and, man, they just
warm.
Oh, they keep it warm, let me tell you.
Well,
so the farther away from a heat duct or vent that you can get them, the better. Yeah.
Now, cyclamen is what my wife and I have problems with. Yeah. Rufus's wife has had one for years and years and years, but we seem to kill them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I guess we overwater them, possibly.
That's right. Yeah. Believe it or not, at juniper level, we're actually keeping this cyclamen outside, this species of cyclamen outside.
Really?
All year long. Yeah.
That Tony Avent, he proves that this and that, you say it can't be done. Tony proves it can be done.
There's a secret to it. It has to stay really dry during the summer.
Okay.
We're going to have to learn that secret in a moment.
We certainly are. Thank you for the tease, Tom.
I hear the noise. Joel's got us going here.
That's right. More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead on WPTF from Campbell Road Nursery. It's 8:29. News coming up. All right, we're back on WPTF at Campbell Road Nursery. Phil is nowhere to be found. This is quite a complex, so she's off in the hinterlands. But I do have Dr. Patrick McMillan and Nels Cox and Tom Campbell and Brother Rufus has returned. Were you taking a call from the governor or something?
Well, I was pretending to take a call from Ben Franklin.
Well, let's.
How's Ben today?
I was pretending to be on NC Spin.
Oh, so you were out there debating with somebody. Well, you should come in here. We have the host.
There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Jim is with us. Jim, good morning. You're on WPTF. You have something about the poinsettia?
I do, Mike. Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
A couple years ago, I went to central Kenya in Africa to visit my daughter, who was on a Samaritan's Purse medical mission.
Nice.
And the apartment I stayed in had a poinsettia tree in front of it. The amazing thing, Mike, is it was like 20 feet high. Mm-hmm. I just thought they died after Christmas. I didn't know they grew like that.
Now, Patrick brought us up to date on that, and it's really incredible. I can't imagine. I've never seen a poinsettia tree.
How's this, like, treated as an annual here and
right.
be done with it?
Well, but the thing is, and the caller, I forget his name.
Kenya. And,
yeah, yeah, Kenya. But the thing is, probably that poinsettia tree wasn't nearly as beautiful a display of flowers as you see in what we grow specifically for a flower display. The flowers are usually, you know, the bracts.
The bracts,
we're calling it a flower, but as I said, not real flower. But those bracts are oftentimes a lot less showy once you let it grow up and grow into a tree. Just like you see if you keep one around for the year and it flowers the following winter, you have to keep it dark. In the wintertime, or increase the length of the night. So if you keep a lot of lights on, it's not going to flower. But once you do that, you'll see it's never as beautiful the second year as it was the first, even if you are successful keeping it alive.
Is that because you need to add growth regulators and pinch it and all that?
All that stuff. Yes, all that stuff. And yeah. when we're growing these out from cuttings, we're souping them up to burst forth with just the right amounts of everything to produce that the largest display we can.
Which is another reason to just say,
just buy them every year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of work and effort, and these growers are amazing.
Phil's got them out here, the 4-inch poinsettias, for $10.
Yeah,
bucks.
$10.
For Pete's sake.
It's $10.
I mean, why mess with this thing all year long?
These days, that's not even a hamburger.
I know.
That's true. At least not a good one. So. Well, Jim, that's fascinating, and I hope. What is your daughter doing now? Is she still in Kenya,
well,
or is she?
She was there for 2 years with her husband, the neurosurgeon, and the two grandchildren. She's moved back to Maryland for now, we visited there several times. And you're right, the blooms were not as dense, so I guess they're really the red leaves were not as dense. But when this thing is 20 feet high and 15 feet wide, it was stunning.
Impressive, yeah. Very impressive.
Walking into the building, just stunning. So anyway, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You know what else is just amazing?
You too. Thank you, Jim.
About that is to think this is a little, this plant is not common even in Mexico. It's I think, found in the state of Guerrero, and it's not common there, and you find it all over the world.
Isn't that something?
Which is really amazing and really shows you how all these traditions and things that start in places that are far-flung, like we might not think about being central Mexico, they end up all over the world.
Is it a mountainous area?
It's mountainous terrain. All of central Mexico pretty much is mountainous, but it's mountainous and sort of dry tropical forest.
Wow. Is this our terra?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Is there any other? That's just what I want to ask.
I don't think so.
You the best, girl. You the best.
were you named after the plantation and Gone with the Wind or the house?
You know what? I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
nice name.
To the core. So, yes, it is. But, hey, my dear friends, it was so good to see y'all at Rufus's Christmas party the other night. And Mike Rayleigh, the reason
yes, ma'am.
I'm calling is I want to talk about the peanut plant. And the reason I want to talk about the peanut plant is Melissa's peanut brittle is off the chart. It is the best I've ever tasted in my life.
Agreed.
it's sinful. Really.
I'm having trouble connecting your peanut plant with peanut brittle.
It honestly is very sinful.
Well, anything related to the
peanut. Out of peanuts.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, yes, sir. So we.
And I'm going to tell you, normally I share anything that I have. But that is not going to be shared with anyone. That is the best peanut brittle I've ever tasted. I'm having a group of people over tonight. I'm hiding.
Hiding.
Yeah, I brought Nelson some more.
Yeah, because my mama ate the other.
Your mother got into it.
She did.
So, were there crumbs all over the place, or
no?
Did
she lapped them up. She lapped them up.
Nice. Okay.
It's
well,
not won't not.
I had
but
a big bag
anyway,
of stuff this morning.
That's what I was calling in to tell y'all. It was just so good. It was. I mean, Mike, that was just incredible.
He had nothing to do with it.
I had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Rufus and I have been sitting over here figuring out how we're going to market Melissa's famous peanut.
Well, we've got that going. There's no doubt about it.
Actually, I've got some really good ideas.
You're
going to
become a very wealthy man.
I hope so.
Tara, I know what your ideas are. You can't say that on the air.
Nelson, you know, you and I will talk behind the scenes about this. And I wanted to give Phil a shout out, too, that why would you go anywhere else besides Campbell Road Nursery? I don't know why you would go anywhere
else.
I don't know. Oh, it's a beautiful
so,
place.
Anyway,
it certainly is.
Wanted to give
it's
everybody
beautiful.
A shout out. And y'all have a Merry Christmas, and it did me so good to see you all the other night, but that peanut brittle really put me over the edge.
Got like a steroid, didn't it?
Well, I'm glad that took you over the edge.
All right, we're on the air. You can't talk like that.
This show is deteriorating.
I'll tell you. All right, Merry Christmas, Tara.
Love you all.
Please call. Please call again. Please, please call again. All right. See you, darling. Bye bye. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here at WPTF from Campbell Road Nursery. It's 8:40. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the WPTF Weekend Garden. I can't believe we only have 15 minutes left in the first hour this morning. We've really had a good time talking about just about everything. A lot of poinsettia this morning.
Yeah.
We've had a star-studded cast this morning, and now we have a former United States congressman. How about that?
Yes, sir.
And I asked if the governor was here, but We're glad to have a congressman with us.
And we have a real farmer.
And a real farmer.
A real farmer. At one time, he was the only real farmer in Congress.
That's right.
I mean, real farmer.
Yeah.
And how many members of Congress played college basketball?
Not many.
Which team did he play college basketball for?
It had a Campbell. There was a Campbell involved.
Hey, listen, I got to tell this little story. My grandson plays basketball at Emory.
No kidding. Wow.
University, and he was coming into the game and introduced him. Mr. Campbell, you will appreciate this. And he said, you know, his grandfather played basketball at Campbell University. Almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah. Congressman, I don't know if you know Dr. Patrick McMillan. He taught at Clemson University, another orange school.
Yeah. Yes.
Congressman Etheridge.
Another great agricultural school, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about that. I use their resources occasionally online. They have quite a storehouse, just like NC State, of great consumer information.
Is that the one we call Clemson?
No. Maybe you do in Boone, but we don't say that here.
Yeah, the P is invisible, Clemson.
Yes.
I mean, even during the textile bowl, we don't say Clemson.
Kind of like Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Right. Congressman, we got a little rain. Did you get some in Harnett County? How are the farmers feeling?
We did, but we're still, as you well know, dry. It's one of the driest falls in
I know. Extraordinary.
Forever. Yeah. And it's really going to have an impact. Already had an impact, but it'll have an impact if it doesn't rain this month, it's going to have a big impact next year after farmers have had a very tough year this year. They had some pretty good yields, but the prices just stink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, boy, sitting here looking at all these beautiful poinsettias, I would hope that a lot of folks come today because,
these soybean farmers down east, I mean, these guys, they just harvest them and they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Well, it's true all over the country. Uh-huh. In the Midwest, they're piling them up, nowhere to go, and it's not like storing a lot of other stuff. You just can't keep them. Now, we're better off here in North Carolina than in the Midwest because you can use those soybeans in the mixture of feeds, you know, because of our large population of pork and poultry, and they can use it in the Midwest. They don't have that opportunity. When the overseas markets, China, by and large, went out of the market, they bought it somewhere else, and we're really suffering.
Yeah, Bob, I've often wondered.
We're going to find the real effect of it months from now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's already starting to feel.
We haven't hit the effect of it.
No, the farmers are feeling it already.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you treat soybeans as silage? Because cows won't eat it?
No. You can feed it. You probably feed the hogs because once it, you know, hogs can eat it even if it's mildewed some. A cow can't.
You know where soybeans were first grown in America?
You're going to tell me.
Pasquotank County, North Carolina.
Really?
No kidding.
They called them J-Pan peas. J-Pan peas.
J-Pan peas.
The corn crop was horrible last year. How did it fare this year, Congressman?
Had a pretty good corn crop because you had that early rain.
Ah,
okay. Had a lot of
rain.
Which
really helped. That was very helpful this year.
I think it was a great vegetable gardening year for
It was for plants vegetables. In general. I mean, the blooms, the healthy looking plants,
blueberries,
everything.
Blackberries, it just, you know, even though it got dry when we started picking blueberries, blackberries, they had enough water to be very
had a
very
good crop. The crops got punished with the drought as it came.
Yep.
Was tobacco and late crops.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good crop. Problem was, no market. China backed out of the market, and the farmers are still feeling it.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of cotton fields that still hadn't been harvested.
Yes. Oh.
It's just
prices are in the tank.
Yeah.
It's not good prices. It's just tough.
Yeah.
And you'll feel that impact. Rufus touched on it a while ago. You're really going to feel that impact starting now as farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers are large borrowers of money because they need a lot of money to run their operation. That's going to start hitting now as they start going to see the farm loan folks and the banks and
farm
looking to next year. It is really going to back up on them.
Incredible.
And that's just another reason to support our local farmers and visit our state farmers market and your local farmers markets in each little townships that have popped up.
Well, like we're here today. Show up at these nurseries and help these folks.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to need it. And the money that is spent in your local communities, stay in those communities.
Yeah.
It's not like that's where the big box stores that winds up going to another state overnight.
Well, a lot of folks have no idea about, well, I grew up on a little small 100-acre farm, had about maybe half of it in pasture and then a few other crops. And you bought the fertilizer on credit depending on your crops.
That's right.
If you didn't have a good tobacco crop, you didn't have a good cabbage crop, you were in the hole.
Yep.
And that's hard for people to understand. A farmer takes a lot of risk.
Well, and today you've got a lot of small farmers, especially up in the mountains. You know, the storm that hit last year really had a huge impact from Florida all the way through into North Carolina and Tennessee.
I tell people,
and they're still recovering.
Farmers are the biggest optimists in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, they take these seeds, they put them in the ground, they have no idea, they have no control over what's going to happen.
That's true.
From the standpoint of weather and markets and... They got to be optimists.
We got to be grateful for them because where would we be? You know, I've always said that agriculture, all types, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Mexico to Canada, they are as important to us as they are our national defense. Because if a nation cannot feed itself, they sure can't defend themselves.
Even at Clemson.
Even at Clemson. The invisible people.
Well, I'm sure the Clemson and NC State are coming up with answers for.
Well, you know, Mike, in that when you touch that, when you look at, we benefited from the great research investments of our state, our national governments, and farmers, at all of our research universities. That's why
these land grant universities.
Oh,
I mean, let me tell you.
That's why those of us who don't farm to make a living. We may call it a bit of a hobby for them, but you know, we've come a long ways in the last 100 years. When I don't know what percent it was, and you probably know it, 80% or so of the people were tilling the soil.
Yeah.
To now, we have less than 3.
Right.
Yeah. Feed the rest of us.
So, what kind of projects you got today on the farm?
Oh, I'm gonna head back out in a little while and go out. I gotta put out a
little. You've fed his cattle yet? Hadn't done it yet.
I gotta go put out some hay because the drought this fall has really played havoc on pastures.
Yeah.
So I just hope my hay lasts through the winter.
Was it a good year for hay?
Early hay.
Early hay was okay, but late hay has really suffered. Pastures pastures are really in poor shape.
Why?
Drought.
Just drought.
No water.
No rain on the late season grasses. Mm-hmm. So all the early the early season grasses, fescue, Timothy fields, they did great because we had tons of rain in May and June.
That's right.
No rain since.
No, and you know, I overseeded for some grass, but no rain, so it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Are you going to fix anything today? I know farmers are always fixing something or making something.
Well, I got to do a little fence work. I've got a couple places I need to replace.
A lot of us need to mend fences.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Very good, Tom. That'd be wonderful. Well, Representative Howard Penny is probably getting some hay out today, too, for his cattle.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
He's a real farmer.
Yep, he is.
Yeah. I want to know this, Bob. Did you ever... We used to stack hay, a big pole in the ground, and put it in windrows. Then the horse would drag it in on a rake and throw it up there, and then they'd be the stacker. You got to tromp around the hole. And the boys would try to stick me with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm messed up in the head.
And I think we get
you've been dodging pitchforks all your life, Rufus.
We need clarity on a lot of issues today, aren't we?
I do think so.
Did you ever stack hay on a pole? Or was that too Western North Carolina?
No. In the East, they didn't do much stacking. They hauled it and put it in the building.
Put it in the hayloft.
That's right. And
they
now,
stack
of course,
peanuts.
That's true. And it's now all rolled up in big rolls and, you know, with heavy equipment.
It looks like a honey bun.
That's right.
Makes it hard to toss.
That's exactly right.
Sure. Remember, tossing those bricks was all right.
I was going to say, and it's fascinating watching them out in the fields.
Oh, yeah.
Making his great big brick.
Yeah.
Look at the character.
Well, you've got them now where you have them, you know, large blocks.
Right.
Or to roll it, or very few now. Well, more and more starting to do the small bales again, where they can sell to people who have horses and small animals. But.
And the older I get, the more I appreciate it, too, the smaller bales. You know.
Yes, I agree with that. And that's why when you think about agriculture, and I don't think the average person understands, the equipment that farmers have to have and the cost of that equipment is so expensive. And in a lot of cases, when you see new equipment, they may not own it. They may be leasing it this day and time because of... Just the cost of the equipment is so expensive.
Yeah.
A combine, when I was young, would be a few thousand dollars. Now you're looking at one that's over half million dollars.
And those things take up, when they're driving down the road, they take up both lanes.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, so do you prefer your hay bale with twine or wire?
Twine.
Yeah,
twine.
Much easier to handle.
No wire anymore that I know of.
Well, we used to say
it's too expensive.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that twine comes in handy. I mean, I'll stake tomatoes and peppers, and so it gets repurposed. But my mom and I, we go through probably about 30 to 50 bales, big bales of straw every year. I use it in my vegetable garden, but I use it in the chicken coops.
Chicken. You got any chickens, Congressman?
No chickens.
No chickens.
Yep. I put some out Wednesday
because
I knew the rain was coming, and they make a mess. They can tear it up.
Yeah, so. Rufus, you need some chickens, don't you?
Well, my neighbor has chickens. That's very well. I have fond memories of gathering eggs.
Was that your job to gather the eggs?
Well, and also the
chicken killing time. I don't want to discuss that on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to eat. So that
my grandma
like
rang their necks.
Yeah.
But it's still, you heard about the old adage about running around like the chicken's head cut off. They'll run a good 20 feet.
Well, that's a wonderful way to end this hour. Really, Congressman, thank you very much for joining us.
Honored to be with you.
Happy birthday to Tara. We didn't wish her happy birthday. We'll be back.